to the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark, where we learn to accept living in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We share information about the facts of radiation and the nuclear industry. We discuss vital current events and explore the roots of social engineering that has caused so many of our beloved friends and family to intentionally ignore the most critical, catastrophic event in human history. We interview activists who do the hard work to discover the truth and get the word out. We disclose the NRC's daily nuclear alerts and take phone calls from our listeners in an effort to fully engage on all topics that are changing our world. We explore exactly how radiation affects our bodies and minds to dissipate your fears and face the truth. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. We share information on how to take your life back from the systems intent on enslaving our bodies, minds, and souls. The Age of Vision radio show will create a venue that all will choose in order to actively engage to save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Good morning, UCY radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark again, and I hope the sound is a little bit fixed. Thank you for showing up this morning, and I really appreciate everybody's feedback and support. This is Monday, where I basically read the nuclear alerts and the nuclear news, and I want to talk to you about something. I met with Mark Casimir from Sweetholm, Oregon. And he's like us. He's a citizen scientist. He told me he was a biologist by trade. And he had it's called the Economic Analysis of Columbia Generating Station that was dated 1/13/2014. And he showed me something on page 47 I'm going to talk to you about, if you guys want to look at it ahead of time. Anyways, I want to thank you for being here. And Jules, if you're listening, I really do want to redo the intro. But thank you for the opportunity for me to get my voice out and to engage other people. And I want to thank the SGT report for the interview that he posted for me this last week. It was very awesome. And I have to say the comments were very interesting. I appreciate them all. Two of them really touched my heart. And one was about a man who was really obviously in a very dangerous situation. I think he's a battered male. And I apologize for my offhandedness about just saying the battered women. And you're right, it's about battered people. We have a battered people, and we need help, and we need avenues. And I honestly do not know how extensive that is, but I felt very compelled to address that comment because I was a battered child. I understand what that feels like, to feel like nobody hears you. So people hear you, and I appreciate your comments. And then to the other guy who said I had 100% credibility, and then I believed in the fake Holocaust, which was just the up and down roller coaster of comments when you're listening to some type of a recorded interview where people can post their own comments. I think my credibility is about as sound as my opinion. Like, it doesn't matter. The really reason that I'm here is to talk to you about accepting the Age of Fission, because Fukushima is off the charts. The whole culture is ignoring it. I mean, we actually have to beg our friends and family to contact the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to please, please, please measure the radiation, even if it's really bad. We need to know, because it's going to be really bad. And that's why they want to go to the hormesis theory, because of Fukushima. They said it right there. So it's a... And I don't know about the fake Holocaust. To be honest, I hadn't actually really heard that. I'd heard vaguely that people in Iran do not believe that the Holocaust happened. And so, you know, it's post-ignorance here, man. This is, the reason I liked Kevin Blanch and the Post-Ignorant Project, Ignorance Project, is because guess what? That's where we're all at some level. Nothing wrong with admitting where you're at, getting better, and getting an education and looking at the whole picture. We live in a culture of misinformation, so that it's really, they make it into on purpose difficult for all of us to really comprehend. Mark Kasabir, when I met him yesterday, said he's not so sure that the whales are dying from Fukushima. I about fell off my chair, but that's his opinion. I seriously disagree with them. I think that this is what I told Chuck from Doctor's Oregon Physician for Social Responsibility when I went to go see his program here in Eugene. He gave a complete symposium on this thing from the Columbia Generating Station. And I had known about it, and honestly, when I saw the facts again, it really kind of hit my gut, but guess what I did? Boom! Slide it into my schoolwork, into my work, and it was not until Mimi German posted something on Facebook that said, when are people going to get serious about closing the Columbia Generating Station? It is, because of its proximity, anyone who understands what's going on there. This is why, if you look at page 58, and I'm going to talk to you about this right now, and I want to get to the nuclear alerts also. But the Columbia Generating Station is really, we have Fukushima going off the charts, folks. I mean, really seriously, anybody listening to this knows that it is. But the Columbia Generating Station is sitting on top of a very active earthquake fault in a silently dormant earthquake zone, which is kind of scary because it's had a lot of little earthquakes over the last few years. And the way it was designed, if you look at page 47 from the Columbia Generating Station Economic Analysis 123-14, January 23rd, 2014, they say there are a total of 75 PPC members and 28 E members. Now, E members are probably energy members. I have not had a chance to read the Energy Northwest. That's who they're from. They have this is the one nuclear power station where they have made like a tri-circles that all interconnect, so that at one point you have CGS participants, PPC participants, and EN, which is Energy Northwest participants. And there are 43 of those people combined that you have to convince that the Columbia Generating Station needs to be shut down. And then there's also an oversight committee, which is supposedly independently oversees this. Now, I am hoping that I can get an interview with Mimi German to ask her questions about who are these people. And, you know, one of the things Mark and I talked about was just the sheer greed of all these people. But that cannot be the answer, because they are killing our planet. They cannot have the hubris to really think that we're just being hysterical, because the real science, not the fake science, not the science that they get paid to say is real, the real science tells us that this type of nuclear power is dangerous. Uranium is horrible for humans and for life on our planet. That's why it was buried beneath the Earth, because it's not time for it to come up yet. Goodness sakes. So look, folks, I am going to read, I want to get to the nuclear events because I haven't actually gotten through all of them. I was about, every time I read these things, I have like a Scooby-Doo moment. You just cannot imagine. So the last time I read it, you know, was like last week. So we've had like a whole week of these. And let's see, they repeat things. If you go here regularly, they repeat things. You have to be careful to look at the dates, because like here's one from 8/6 we've read. But there was one on here that was it happened in Pennsylvania. Beaver Valley, Pennsylvania. Listen to this. At 8 at 0837 EDT on August 17, 2015, it was determined that Beaver Valley Unit 2 had experienced a small oil leak of approximately 1 liter from equipment located inside the alternate intake structure, some of which progressed to the Ohio River. Subsequent to confirmation of this discovery, notification has been made to the following offsite agencies starting at 10:30 EDT. Wow. The Natural Response Center Incident Report 112-5865, Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, Beaver County Emergency Management, Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency, and downstream water authorities. And these are the Midland Water Authority, Allegheny, Ludlam, East Liverpool Water Company. This notification is a required 4-hour report, 10 CFR 50.72B211. The source of this leak has been stopped. Absorbent material has been placed. It has been placed to contain the oil that had leaked. No press release is planned. So we'll just leak a quart of oil into the Ohio River, and that's okay. It's nuclear energy, but who cares? The worst stuff dies really quickly. So are they going to notify the hospitals in case anybody happens to get sick or have spontaneous abortions or anything like that, that maybe these people are at risk for nuclear pollution? This is outrageous. Okay, so then again, we come on to the next day, and there's like this one's stolen thermal electro XFR analysis. They had a bunch of broken equipment as usual, the Troxler things. Those things seem like they're a piece of garbage because they break all the time, or maybe they don't keep them up or they treat them like crap. But here's one that got stolen in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky. On 8/7, the licensee reported, sometime in 2011, don't you love that, folks? On 8/7/2011, the licensee reported that sometime in 2011, a thermoelectro XRF analyzer model XLP818 serial number 17620 was stolen from their facility in Louisville, Kentucky. The device contained a QSA Global AMCL AM241 source, serial number 5588CW, that was 30 microcuries, I think M, capital C, and I, and I don't know what the I means, in 31307. This is outrageous. The Kentucky Radiation Health Branch has requested additional information. They just now reported the theft of an instrument that they're saying is a non-emergency. If it was that much of a non-emergency, why would they wait till now to report that it was stolen in 2011? I don't know about you, but that, to me, is an outrage. I mean, do these people have nobody that, wow, there's something behind that, folks. And you know what? The good thing about the NRC is they don't talk, and neither does anybody working at any of these agencies. They don't talk, and they all just keep their trap shut while they kill the planet. They allow something super big. Who knows what this thing is? So any technical people out there who know what this is, please call in Friday and let me know what that is, because I'll talk about it. Maybe I'll print this page out and talk about it on Friday. Let me say the name again. It's a thermoelectron XRF analyzer, XLP818. And I don't know, maybe it's individual, because here's the serial number, 17620. And the device contained a QSA Global AMCL, and then another word, I think it's americium 241 source. You know? So anyways, here we go on the post-ignorance project again. This is me learning right in front of you. Serial number 5588CW. So I'm stunned. That completely shocks me. So let's move on to see what other things they have. There is at Indian Point, New York. What are they telling us about that? Oh, this was interesting. Indian Point, New York. Residual heat remover, heat exchange outlet valves, unanalyzed condition. Really? Now, it says that the plant remained at 100% power during the time of this event, and all technical specification requirements were followed. So let me tell you that at the front end. They put that at the back. That's at the end of their report, as usual. But this is the report. At 1331 hours EDT on August 18th, 2015, with a plant in mode 1, IP2 entered technical specification 3.03 upon determination by the shift manager that MOV 746 and 747 at the outlet of the residual heat removal heat exchangers may not fully open on a safety inspection signal if there was a degraded grid voltage, where the voltage at the 480-volt safeguard buses is below the minimum dropout value of 415 volts and cause the fuses to fail. Excuse my reading, you guys. I'm just going to come closer so I can read. A lot of you guys already know I'm pretty blind. The time when the fuses would fail and the extent to which the MOVs open has not yet been analyzed. How do you like that? Immediate corrective action was taken to replace the fuses with fuses that would not fail. The RHAR trains were restored to an operable condition at 1419 and 1431 hours. This is potentially reportable under 10 CFR 50.72B32 and 10 CFR 50.72B35, since the condition has not yet been fully analyzed but has been corrected. So doesn't that make us feel better? Wow. They fixed the problem at Indian Point where millions of people could have been at risk, but they're so good to us, those, what do they call themselves? The priests, the nuclear priests. They're just so good to the little peoples, aren't they? So here we are. I'm going to press on with the nuclear alerts. You guys, I see that it's 8:18. I do want to get onto this analysis and talk a little bit about it. And I have an idea about the Columbia Generating Station. But there's a few of these here that really, I think we need to call the NRC and make complaints about how blithely they actually just ignore these things and tell us, oh, no problem at Indian Point. Some critical equipment went down, but if we went off the grid, it would be really bad. I don't know. Maybe I guess they figure that's part of just regular doing business. Well, it's not. It's not really part of doing regular business. Asco Valve Incorporated, what are these guys saying? And they are out of South Carolina. Potential Part 21 notification. Asco reviewed a Part 21 notification. Don't you like these code words? Part 21 notification. Received from Stevens Isomedic Services to see if the reported nonconformance would compact qualification levels, would impact qualification levels. Based on this review, ASCO determined that even if the radiation levels applied to components were lower than reported in the original certification, the additional radiation doses added to meet the 10% margin suggested. These guys, honestly, I can't read these today. They make me so infuriated. You know, who are these people that are doing this? Me and yesterday I spoke with Mark Casavir for quite a long time. He really, like, I guess he kept, you know, the imprinting on me that it's really just for pure greed. I find that completely astounding, that it's just for the sake of money. It can't just be for the sake of money. They're destroying the entire planet, ignoring the harm that nuclear does to every... I mean, it is not just global warming. I really believe that Fukushima just put global warming on balco, as Kevin would say. It just put the global warming off the charts. We have trillions of gallons now going into the Pacific Ocean from Fukushima. Go to ENE News. Do you notice that ENE News doesn't really post news anymore? You know why? There's probably none to post. They're not talking. You know what that means when they're not talking? It's really bad. And this is why, I mean, I really admire Dana Dern for being willing to go and take pictures and photograph it and get pictures of those deformed starfish, as much as it must be breaking his heart to see all of this. Honestly, I am really sorry about that. And anybody who wants to contribute to his efforts, and, you know, these are just citizen journalists just like me, folks. We're talking about, you know, somebody said the other day on the Sarge Report, my credibility. Well, I'm just a human being who reads, and I make an effort to read with a critical mind, a critical thinking mind, and I guess I don't mind being offended by your point of view sometimes and still continuing our conversation. Like, I think it's important for us to say what we really believe and then hash through it and talk through it as logical people and look at the real facts, because we live in serious, hardcore misinformation. You know, my friend Jenny, when I told her, I call them the Bush crime family all the time. I'll be honest. That's how I refer to them. That offended her. She's not a Republican, but she felt like that was disrespectful, and she really disagreed with me on it. Well, that's her choice. But, you know, no one's going to convince me that they have not perpetrated serious harm on our country for many, many years. And it's a family dynasty that, you know, they're continuing, I guess. But I think now that people are onto them, we're seeing what's happening, I think we're done with that. Like, we're done with that meme. We're done. Completely finished. So let me talk to you about this. I have not read this article. Guess what? It is 216 pages long. But it is, according to Mark Kasebier, the economic analysis of the Columbia Generating Station. Now, you notice it says the economic analysis. Robert McCullough wrote it. Mark Vatter, Rose Anderson, Jill Hymanson, Sean Long, Christopher May, Andrew Nesbitt, and Garrett Auersland. December 2013. It's called McCullough Research. Robert F. McCullough Jr., Principal. Now, this is what he said in his cover letter to Dr. John Pearson, Mr. Charles Johnson, Oregon and Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility, 812 Southwest Washington Street, Suite 1050, Portland, Oregon, 97205. I give you this address in case of you, any of you who want to contact and get in touch with these people about. They are very actively engaged in working on getting the Columbia Generating Station closed down. They know all the players. Frankly, I'm sort of done playing. I want to put our brains together and put pressure on all of the people that we can. I hope that I can get Mimi German on to talk about all the activities that have gone on surrounding this and the things that she sees. Because you know, everything I've seen, she is like the expert on this up there in Portland. And it's she who got me really the fire under my butt, like making myself go, you know what? I know the facts. I'm just exactly what she's talking about. And I guess this is part of why, like, I'm post-ignorant. Like, I am willing to just acknowledge it. And this is what I meant when we started the Post-Ignorance Project. I'm not part of the Post-Ignorance Project any longer. Kevin's taking it over himself. I think he's going to transition it into the Pacific Genocide. So hopefully we can get that worked out. The issue with him is he needs funding. And so if anybody who likes Kevin can help him out a little bit, please do. So anyways, I'm going to get back to this research on McCullough Research because it is really a fascinating thing. This thing about the Columbia Generating Station, if you guys really saw we could show you Chuck Johnson's slideshow that he did 3 years ago that I saw very recently in Eugene, you would understand the extreme severity of the situation. Like they used to have a plutonium processing plant right on the corner of the river. They moved it back. But for a long time, and you don't just like move the plutonium. Yeah, it died, but the Columbia River is, you know, this is the nuclear proponents say that nuclear is just not that bad. That's why they're talking about hormesis. They're saying it is just natural. And, you know, my argument is we don't need to deny the original science that was done. The nuclear scientists have found ways from the very beginning to deny that. This is where people get into like calling things demonic and satanic. I personally don't want to give them that power. I refuse to call anybody satanic and demonic. Like evil? Yes. Demonic, satanic? I'm not giving them that power. No. They're just really evil people that have lost their humanity. And in that regard, I think they just need to be stopped. We need to like get actively engaged. And the nuclear industry has just got to reverse itself. It's killing people. And it's killing the oceans, and the ocean can't sustain it. If we did not have the global warming going on, maybe, but maybe the nuclear started. Maybe nuclear put global warming on Balco from the get. I mean, we started messing around with it about 50 years, and that's when we started taking a nosedive. You know, they didn't even tell us there was nuclear waste for 20 years, folks. And we're supposed to believe them on these, like, ridiculous nuclear alerts? Don't worry, everything's fine. I didn't even, you know, let's see, what was this one? August 21st. You know, go back to August 21st. Damage, okay, more gauges, damage. Let's see. All I do is scroll down. Oh, strontium 90 source found at a recycling facility. Oh, joy, doesn't that make you feel good? In Alabama. Now, how did that happen? Oh, my gosh. The maximum radiation levels, okay, on August 7, 2015, again. Anyways, you guys, I don't know about you, but these nuclear alerts really infuriate me. But let's get back to the Columbia Generating Station. This is what they say in their letter, that our mandate was quite narrow. This is their mandate, and this is very interesting because they don't talk about the health benefits. To carefully consider the economics of Columbia Generating Station and its possible replacement with other supplies. That is outrageous. They have absolutely no mandate to look at the health risk. The study has been unnecessarily complicated by a lack of transparency at Energy Northwest. Even at the simplest request, the simplest requests have been delayed by months. So these are the people that we're talking about. The people that are hired here are looking at the economics of the Columbia Generating Station, not the threat of risk to the country. The Columbia Generating Station is sitting on an active earthquake fault 15 miles away from Hanford Nuclear Waste. If there was an earthquake, they say it can sustain up to a 7.0 earthquake. Now, if it can do that, God bless them. But what if we get an 8.0 or a 7.2? Excuse me. Then what? Then what happens? If we have any type of a meltdown at all and that thing blows up, like just even gets inoperable, say, for 2 weeks, nobody could even get near Hanford. No one could get even near Hanford, folks. Humans would die within 15 miles away from the epicenter of where the meltdown would happen. If there was any type of a serious problem where it took 2 weeks to just let it cool down. Now, this is called selective memory because, interestingly enough, I heard that statistic at a presentation about, I don't know, 2 years ago when I first got actively engaged in this. I went to go see the Hanford Challenge folks. And what happened again? I got busy with work. And I was actually very busy promoting the post-ignorance project, helping Kevin get things around. So I really did not have the energy to put into this, and we did not adopt it as a thing in the post-ignorance project. Like, this was not one of Kevin's projects, so he had other projects. So I think that's partly why I didn't get into it. But, you know, this thing with the Columbia Generating Station, we have to really give it some hardcore figuring, and we have to put our brains together to figure out how to close it down. They have made it unnecessarily complicated. And one of the things that Chuck Johnson in his presentation said was that they discovered that the earthquake that it's sitting on, the licensee knew about it at the time they put their license in with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, you know, 40, 30 years ago, something like that. But they omitted it from the application. Now, the licensee is saying, of course, they didn't do it intentionally, but who forgets to put on an application that the nuclear power plant is going to sit on top of an earthquake? And here we are, like, they just got their license renewed, I think, for an extra 20 years. You know, so it's out of date anyways, and it's on an earthquake fault 15 miles from Hanford, and they're not even taking it seriously. You know, there were some children born last year that had half their brains, and they died pretty quickly after birth. And it was very harrowing to watch these families go through this pain. But that is a direct result of nuclear pollution. And we have known that it happens. That is a direct result. That's one of the first things Dr. Linus Pauling and Arthur Tamplin and other scientists in the early 50s found out from nuclear pollution. Extremely common. It is not a secret. So there is no reason why we should just let these guys pretend, just like they did last year. As soon as that happened, 32 babies were born, I think, in 13. Or maybe it was 14, maybe. I don't know. 13, I think it was. And immediately, the NRC, within 3 months, came out with a scientific report that said, nope, those kids weren't caused by the radiation living in Richland. No. They're perfectly fine. And you know, it might have been that because they got blasted from the radiation from Fukushima, those young girls, 2 or 3 years earlier. I mean, this is the negligence of these people. I mean, it's so outrageous, you guys, that I don't know. I am going to talk about this because this is an important thing. The Columbia Generating Station is 15 miles from Hanford, and it sits on top. It is above the wind of where more than 50% of the potatoes are grown, a large portion of the wheat. I mean, the agriculture, and that's just east, right? So if we had the Northwest really destroyed, honestly, with nuclear pollution, it would put the whole coast would just go. So I agree with, when I saw that post by Mimi German a week ago, it hit me in the gut for some reason, and I am going to talk about it on my radio show. And I would encourage other people to actively get engaged that live around there. And I think what we need to do is look at these documents, look at this is what I understood, is it's on page 47 of this document. And you should see there's like these three circles, GCS participants, there's 28 of them, PPC, there's 9 of them, and then there are 3 Energy Northwest companies. But the way they intermingle, the GCS participants, and then there is also an oversight board who I believe are the people that if there was some type of a major problem, they would be the decision makers. And I personally think we need to, like, all these participants and all these people here, GCS participants, total 92, we need to get to the other people. Because if those other people told the participants this is what we have to do, then that's what they would do. Because there's no way. Those people don't want something that's going to be harmful for their customers. These are participants who are looking out for their needs of their customers. And you know what? The idea of getting nuclear energy from a nuclear power plant that is only 15 miles from Hanford is not looking out for your customers. groups. And that's kind of the logic of it all. That's really, this is my thing. I'm not a scientific person. People that listen to me interview or talk to me on the radio, I am a, you know, in the process of post-ignorance. We all are, including Kevin. I mean, we all are growing at this point, and if we're not, then sorry for us, because we really do need to. We have a country that desperately, desperately needs to mature, and we need to not regress. And that is, in fact, talk about social engineering. That's what they wanted us to do. They wanted us to regress. In fact, they have encouraged it at every chance. Look, we get the Dumb and Dumberer show every 4 years now. You know, and it used to be at least the Democrats had some sense of, I guess, responsibility and gave us people who could speak and think clearly. But it's becoming a Dumb and Dumberer show. And, as a Democrat, I'll tell you what, I was a registered Democrat until Obamacare, and then I registered as a Green Party member. You know, I mean, I believe we need to take care of our elderly and our poor and the weak and the children and people that... And I actually do believe, I don't disagree with minimum wage. I think, you know, legal protections for the people at the bottom help. Now, what needs to stop happening is not the legal protection, but the revolving door. You know, you go into government and you leave out of there and you get a job for $500,000 a year. And then you just keep paying your old boss money. I mean, it's like ridiculous. That needs to end. I mean, Americans need to find their integrity and not gouge each other and call it. It's just, it's really, it's so much easier just to help the world get better, because we are in a really bad place right now, you know. And I read the nuclear alerts, you know why? Hopefully to light a fire under somebody's butt, just like Mimi did mine on Columbia Generating Station. Because we need all of us to get active. We need not just 100 people that are, quote, activists. I'm not an activist. I consider myself an American. I believe it's my duty to help save the planet from the people that are destroying it. It's obvious. It's being destroyed. We have dead whales washing up, our poor little seals. No starfish, no sardines, no anchovies on the West Coast. That's not just global warming. The krill, what do you think? We have been pouring trillions of tons of radioactive waste at an unprecedented rate ever in the history of our modern science. And these people think it's not that big a deal. Sorry, it is a big deal. It is. And you know what? It's our responsibility for every one of us to, like, demand that our government, A, stop lying to us and get involved in stopping the bleeding. Because it is bleeding. Fukushima is bleeding. And we are just letting the fascists take over in Japan. And it is sad. The Japanese people are required to be silent. You know. I don't know. I don't know, you guys. So, one of the things I want to talk to you about also today on Monday is, besides the Columbia Generating, because I don't understand this report, to be honest. Like, I haven't read it. It's a 219-page report. I'm looking through it. It does the usual story of telling us why nuclear power is great and how much money it's going to save, and it has all these statistics and it makes the usual assumptions. But this is really the interesting thing. Its view is very small. If this is all they're going to talk about, the money, the financial analysis, they are missing the big picture. And that's part of the conversation that needs to be had. It's not just the financial cost. Fiscal year, let's talk about this. This is the interesting thing. Power worth, production cost, and fiscal year. These are what various documents describe the cost to be included in the test. Slightly differently. The most complete example is contained in the executive boxed report on nuclear programs in 2002. Look at the projection of this. This is so outrageous. The total cost between 1999 and 2002 is $729,100,000. power worth, that means their projected profit, $2,255,661,000. So is that why they're selling us out for that? I mean, I don't know. What is wrong with this? I mean, then they show us this little picture of how the whole thing works. They're little, I call these TEPCO pictures now. They're these little boxed computer squares that shows us how neat and clean and how perfectly reasonable it looks. And then we read these reports that tell us this broke and that broke, and we realize they're just not replacing anything, and they've made it with the crappiest things possible. And we just have to accept the fact that we now have nuclear pollution everywhere, to the point where now we're just not going to count the nuclear pollution. We're going to cross our fingers and hope that it's actually pretty good for us. While we're watching the whales die and the seals die and the birds disappear and the flowers mutate. And now we have weird vegetables and weird fruit because we have geoengineering food. And of course it's perfectly okay to geoengineer human beings. It's like Jewel says, mad science gone mad, man. This is like totally nuts. So I'm encouraging anybody who wants, I mean, I did have somebody from Yakima contact me, and I have not been able to get back in touch with them about some activism. I want to come up with an idea. I want to talk to Mimi German about it. I want us to organize as strongly as possible, and I would encourage other people from other parts of the country to really, like maybe in Idaho if you're listening, or, you know, the vested interests where these so-called shareholders are, you know, and just like Washington, California, Idaho, Montana and Utah, I think those are the ones that are all connected in right away. But I think this is a very important issue that I think is being grossly underreported and underappreciated. And I want to thank Mimi German for actually putting a fire under my butt on this one, because she's right. This is a very serious issue. And right now it's kind of creepy because most of us on the West Coast, we're not freaked out by earthquakes, because as long as it's earthquake and it's rumbling, the earth's moving, we're not going to have, but when we go these big long silences, that's right after that is when a big gigantic earthquake cracks, right? And we're having these big long silences here up here in the Northwest compared to what it's been for the last few years. So, I mean, I don't know. I really think that this is a very urgent issue. And when I saw Mark Kasapir told me that this is the only nuclear power plant that is created like this, where there are 43 participants, like where you have a whole conglomerate of people. Usually it's just one person that owns it, you know, one private corporation. They're just the, you know, like Energy Northwest, they just own it, right? Or some just big gigantic thing. But this one, the way they did it was they invested a bunch of fingers, you know, and a lot of them are utility companies. And, you know, so they've done this intentionally. So why did they do it intentionally? You know, probably for the same reason that they didn't report that thing missing since 2007. So 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 8 years later, past the statute of limitations. I'll bet you 7 years is a statute of limitations on one, something like that. I'll bet you 2-1. Because why would they wait that long? That's outrageous. 2007 till now. Now they just reported. I mean, 2011. That's only 4 years, so that's not 7 years. I don't know. See, I just don't trust these people. These guys are just snakes, pure snakes. So let me get back to the, see if there's any nuclear news out on the world. I hesitate to talk to you about the nuclear news. You know why? Because I think the people that are watching and listening to this broadcast, I think you guys probably know a lot about it yourself. You know, we go to E&E News, we go to the Nuclear Alerts. I like to go to Fukushima Diary, and I don't know if many of you do go to Fukushima Diary, but Iori Michizuki runs that, and he actually, if you don't know his story, it's quite interesting, because I think he had to leave because he refused to be quiet. I mean, August 3rd, third worker died in Fukushima, 23,900 becquerels. I mean, of cesium-134, 137 still in the water. you know, this is the thing. All of this stuff is just so shocking, and yet our whole culture is just ignoring it. You know what I've been taking, you guys? I don't know if any of you know about this, but I have been healed emotionally quite a bit by something called flower therapy. The idea is that flowers actually heal your soul and heal your body. It's kind of an ancient knowledge that's been used. And there is a, in Eugene, Oregon, I couldn't believe it actually was made here when I first came here. It's Portisia Sanctuary and Gardens in Eugene, Oregon. And there is a blend that I take called Woundedness Recovery. And well, this is what it says. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not recommending this for anybody, but I don't think it's harmful. I'm just sharing it as information to you because, really, this is stuff that's very interesting. It's kind of like the cucurmin. You know, cucurmin, C-U-C-U-R-M-I-N. I mean, I just took that because it was recommended, and I feel a lot better. I wish I had known about it, like turmeric. Turmeric is like a big healer, totally heals. So these are things that we can share, and this is part of what I want us to do on the Age of Fission Radio, is share information about healing and understanding and getting away from the system that looks at us as if we're assets on a balance sheet, and it is not going to be taking their pharmaceuticals and eating their processed food that is filled with chemicals that stop our intestines from functioning. You know, it's about helping ourselves survive through what is going on, because we are in the middle. I really believe that, you know, World War III isn't going to start. It started. They're not declaring war on the whole, you know, China versus, they're not going to do that. It's very subtle how it's coming. And it's actually, the attack is on us, you know. Go to any grocery store, walk up and down the aisles, and open the back of those boxes. Just take a look at the ingredients. That stuff is not food. And three-fourths of it is bad for us. Like, it stops our intestines, it harms us, causes diabetes, causes heart problems, causes high blood pressure. I mean, there's a host of things it causes. And people, you know, we're compelled, it's pushed, it's shoved it through us. You know, our government could stop that. They regulate it, so-called regulate it. Why they don't, I don't know. But this, when I talk about woundedness recovery, which is filled with just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 flowers, bleeding heart, this is what bleeding heart flower does. Transmuting suffering into love and compassion with self and others. Blue star creeper is forgiveness and humility. Erysima is endurance and even-mindedness. Lavender, protection, purification. Prunella, belief in the ability to heal oneself and emotional wounds at their source. Oh, I think there's 6. St. John's wort, overcoming nervousness, exhaustion, or depression. And this little blend is super sweet. I just put a little dropper underneath my tongue. It's just water. It's the essence of water in a little tincture. And it's really... I don't know how it works, but I found it about 30 years ago, flower essences. I was going through a process of alternative healing, and I took different flowers, and you self-diagnose when you do that. There's things that you can do. You can do an energy test where you hold something in your hand and have somebody push down your arm. And if it's not bad for you, your arm will, if it's good for you, your arm will stay strong. If it's unhealthy for you, your arm will be weaker if you hold it to your chest. So if you leave it down and you push your arm down, your arm will be stronger. If you put it to your chest and it's good for you, it'll help your system, whatever it is, you can put your arm out and your arm will be stronger if it's good for you. If it's not going to help you or if it's harmful, you'll see a magnificent difference. Your arm will be super weak. And it is, I don't know how that works. You can do it to your right arm, your left arm, but it's a little trick that I learned a long time ago. And you can do that with anything, like records, you know. In fact, when I first found this out when my daughter was a teenager, she had the record Korn, I think, you know, and I was really mad about it. I thought it was a really bad influence for her. I put it to her chest, and her hand went right down. I'm like, see? Of course, she didn't like that. She still wanted it, so unfortunately, that night, the music fairy came that night and took the music out of the house and said, nope, that's no good. She was not very happy about it. So, you guys, I hope that someone will contact us on Friday and will contact me at Nuts for Art gmail, and will help us get this Columbia Generating Station shut down. Because these notifications, like the one that we saw today in New York, oops, sorry, this is happening, oops, this is, that's exactly the kind of event that we are going to see happening. And in fact, from what I understand around the people living up in Richland, that is what happens. They have a lot of near misses up there. That's a place where there's a lot of fires and there's a lot of, like, storms because it's super dry. It's like desert there. It's eastern Oregon. And it's right on the corner of the river, and so there's a lot of gusts and winds. And I understand that they had a lot of near misses up there. So I think that the Columbia Generating Station is an urgent issue for us, much like Diablo Canyon is for the Californians. And, you know, even for the people in New York, I think really Indian Point is one of your urgent places. If I was living on the East Coast, I would seriously, I mean, this is what we need to do as the people who are paying attention to the nuclear industry. And instead, I mean, I'm hoping that we can organize and create a voice and figure out a process to really put pressure in. I think we're going to have to really lobby our neighbors. Our neighbors do not know about it, and so we're just going to have to go out and talk to people and knock on doors and let them know and give them information. Maybe I can create something and put it up on my Facebook page. I want to talk to Mimi before I find out. I want to see what works, what doesn't work, because she's been doing this a while. We have, at least in the Northwest, a huge obstacle with this many people involved closing a nuclear power station. So hopefully we'll be able, there's, you know, 75 PPC members. So we're going to really have a lot of people. However, if you're in New York, excuse me, you guys, I don't know if you know, but here in the Northwest, we have these big fires. Like, we have to keep our windows closed. We can't really stay out because the fires have, even in Eugene, it looks like it's super hazy and fuzzy outside. It's kind of weird. If you go out there, it sort of makes your throat dry and raw, so people are just staying inside. So anyways, thanks for listening to me clear my throat, but the thing is about the Columbia Generating Station is it is on top of the breadbasket, and we cannot impress that enough. It is a really serious situation if we had an earthquake, if they had a malfunction. So I'm hoping that people in the Northwest will get engaged. And honestly, even Indian Point, because Indian Point in my head, you know, they did get, you know, the nuclear power station closed. I think it was in New Jersey or New Hampshire. I'm pretty sure of it. Excuse me, you guys, again, here I am being post-ignorant. I'm just going to be straight up. I'm from the West Coast, but I think it was Yankee that got closed down, if I recall right. So somebody can correct me on that also. But, I mean, it does help. People can get actively engaged, and we can put the pressure on to get it closed down. And I don't care how big this is, but we need people. And I heard Mark say that Mimi is talking to people up in Seattle. So if people in Seattle can get actively engaged, I think that she is 100% right. This thing needs to be closed down. So can you tell it's hot under the wire with me, folks? Like, that's all I could talk about this morning. You know, I really want us to talk about how we can engage to help each other. Because when I first got into this, I was not aware that there was a lot of different organizations. What I saw on the internet was not very much. You couldn't really find it. It was very difficult to find. And after having been engaged on this and been on Facebook and understand the number of groups, the number of people, and it seems to be the same people, maybe 150, maybe 500 across the country probably. that's a very small number. And that means that somehow we're not getting the word out, and people aren't hearing the real reality of it and understanding the gravity of just ignoring it. So I want to put our heads together and figure out a different way to get the message out that the nuclear industry causes more medical problems than we are even acknowledging. Like the autism in this country. It's not just from the shots. It could be from the shots. This is the thing. They've done a frontal assault on all sides. So we have the nuclear, we have the pharmaceutical industry, and we have the medical industry. And so on all sides, we've had them all just you know, the negligence, the underreporting. I didn't read in the nuclear alerts this morning, and I didn't do it because I didn't want to alarm anybody who was going through any type of treatment. But, you know what was reported last week was somebody actually got like a, the doctor ordered a, in some type of chemotherapy where they were going to get radiation. The doctor ordered like three shots, third, and then he said, no, we'll just cut it back in a third. So then they didn't do anything for two treatments. And then at the end of the third treatment, they gave like a 20% higher increase in the dose the person should have originally got altogether. So the person, Angela, got one dose, 20% higher than what was originally prescribed. Shoot. Hold on just one second. I just had to hang up the phone on somebody because we're doing the radio show. They forgot that I'm doing the radio show. It wasn't my client. So anyways, you guys, I really appreciate your time this week. I hope that I have spurred somebody. I hope that I have spurred somebody to actually get actively engaged in helping us close down the Columbia Generating Station. I really hope that I'll be able to do an interview shortly, very soon, with Mimi German. Just capture her sometime. Maybe if we just... if anybody knows her, please put in a good word for us because we'd like to interview her about this. And I encourage everybody to do your own homework. Go to this. Look this up on the internet. It's called The Economic Analysis of the Columbia Generating Station, dated 1/23/2014. It is quite a, it's a 219-page article, kind of technical. Some people will read it easily, others will not. But we need people to read these articles. I don't think I'm going to read it. I really want to read articles about the health condition because I think that we are ignoring the major problem. Yeah, energy can always be profitable. If you just ignore the human cost, sure. Except that the human cost is what really matters. We're providing energy to humans. And to create science that says that nuclear energy does not harm anybody, to stick to the 90% rule of underreporting the negative effects of radiation by 90% and by denying that radiation causes any harm is pathological. I can't comprehend it. And so I am not going to read a economic report online, but I will read, dig up articles about the negative effects of radiation on the human body and on animals. Maybe that's what I should do, is read some of those reports by the little dog killer, because he actually, Dana found him. He still is testing beagles for the last 20 years, trying to find some level of radiation that's pretty good for him, and guess what? Hasn't been able to do it yet. So on Wednesday, we are going to have, an interview with Thomas Ackerman, and we're going to be talking about the free radical art movement and how we want to bring back the conscience to the human populace and people involved in the nuclear denial, because it's really important for us to wake up not just ourselves to the information, but we need to wake up our conscience, remember our humanity, remember that love is greater than fear. Love is greater than fear, and that's why they attempt to keep us apart, because once we love each other, they can't continue to lie to us. So I encourage everybody to really treat each other with respect and, you know, talk through the discourse and just let it go. Don't take it personally. Understand that we all have our path. So we'll talk to Thomas Ackerman on Wednesday. I want to thank everybody for all your support and all your conversation, for your great ideas, and for getting involved in shutting down the Columbia Generating Station. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. And I hope everybody does really well in the next, 10 years, that we can actually make it through this. It's going to be a pretty critical time. And I know that there's some anxiety about September 2015, the CERN thing. I've sort of decided, even the worst of the worst, that we are going to walk through this and come through it with love, that love is greater than fear. And I believe that happiness is resistance. So I choose happiness. That's what I decided. And I'm not afraid of their means. I'm not afraid. I'm willing to have some courage to really ask the questions and tell my truth. And do my best. That's the four agreements, isn't it? The impeccable wisdom.